The great thing about grant writing is it's never, ever a waste of time. And actually, the two biggest things that people are concerned about is the time and the staff. They say, we don't have the time or the staff to do this. And I get it. I've done lots of surveys. This is what I hear time and time again. So do you have the time and the staff? You do, because when you look at what you're doing now, you are already halfway to grant writing. You just don't know it. So in other words, Ben, you already have, you have a business. You probably have a business plan. If you don't have it written down, I won't tell anyone. If you don't, then you at least have it in your mind. You know what you're doing and why you're doing it. So you have already the beginnings of a grant proposal.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Bauberg Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. I am here with Margaret Brazda Poirier. Margaret, how are we doing today? What's up?
I'm doing great, Ben. It's great to see you this morning, and I'm so glad we're taking the time to chat today.
I am too. We talked about this forever ago, and it's been long overdue because I'm coming. I like to tell people, Margaret, that I have a beginner's mindset. I do my best to at all times. In this scenario, I'm actually like a total 101 beginner because we're going to talk about something that you're ultimately Western New York's expert on, and that's grant writing. And grants for good, you're the business owner there. You have an entire course on grant writing. Give us the bird's eye view, maybe starting with what actually is a grant for anyone who's a total beginner? What is a grant and what do you do at Grants for Good?
Yeah, I'm happy to do so, Ben. So I think you've asked an excellent question. What is a grant? And a grant is essentially money you don't have to pay back. So it's very different from something like a line of credit from a bank or a loan that you do have to pay back. So grant funding can be the most incredible gift for your nonprofit organization or your business, but it does come with some strings attached, because keep in mind, grants are money you don't have to pay back, but they're also, the second part of that definition is they're for a very specific purpose. So you have to promise what you'll do with money and follow up on that and have the proof that you've done so. And that's really why, one of the reasons I started Grants for Good, with a number four in the middle, in Grants for Good. I started it back in 2009. And it was really, and it is, to help nonprofits and businesses understand what grants can do for their revenue stream, that it's a pretty important piece of the pie in terms of your revenue stream, and how to find the best grants and how to prepare them so that they are funded. Because the other thing about grants is they're highly competitive. Most of them are competitive. Sometimes when you look at something like one of the business grants that I work on sometimes is National Science Foundation, and nonprofits apply to these too, as well as universities. NSF are among the most competitive grants. Do you know that they will score your grant on a 0 to 100 point scale, and you have to usually get a 97 or up? How's that for pressure?
Yeah.
I mean, getting a 97 on a test in school, remember those days?
Mm-hmm. I remember having to get a 97 or I would have failed one of my classes in high school. If I can't get a 97 until that day, how do I get a 97 when it really matters? But I like the pressure, because literally what I just said, you know, you do poorly, but then the pressure's on. You need that 97. You want to be empowered that you're going to show up and do the best job possible. So do you write the grants for people? Do you educate me on how to write a grant? Like what services do you provide to your clients?
Yeah, I started Grants for Good again back in 2009. It was just me. And then I incorporated as an LLC. And now it's myself and four others. And we all work together as a team. The essential things that Grants for Good does for nonprofits and businesses is, first and foremost, we want to work with organizations to understand how grants are going to fit into their revenue stream and help them develop a grant strategy. That you got to start there. That's the first thing. We want this to help your organization grow or be sustained in the future, into the future. The second thing we do is we help people find the best funders out there, because so many of my clients come to me and they say, Margaret, we don't even know where to begin. There's hundreds of grants out there that might be good for us, but we don't know where to start. And Ben, did you know there are 87,000 foundations in the United States alone, 87,000. So if anyone says there's no money out there, it is simply not true. There are 87,000 foundations, and there are thousands of federal and state grant opportunities. So we help narrow down from those hundreds of thousands of opportunities, focus down into the specific ones that cover your nonprofit or business, for your geographic location, and for your area of work. And that's the second thing we do. And the third thing is, yes, we do write grant proposals. That's definitely the most resource intensive. But when we work with clients on retainer, we like to get two or three grant proposals out per month, so that as you continue to get those grant proposals out the door, you start to continue to get money in the door. Because let me tell you, it can, if Ben, if you and I sit down together and we say, I think we're going to start a foundation and we're going to honor Aunt Matilda, who is a wonderful track star, and we're going to only give grants to high school students who want a scholarship in track for college. It could be that specific. And then when we get those grant proposals, it might take us 3 months to make a decision. So as someone applying for grants, you have to look pretty far down the road, 3 to 6 months before you're ever going to hear back from a funder. Now, the last thing we do, and this is something that we've been doing for years, but it's really exciting because we rolled out a brand new course last year.
Yeah.
And it's called All About Grant Writing. So can you guess what it's about? It's all about grant writing. Right. And it's essentially my 20 some years of experience rolled into an 8-module course that is self-paced. You do it on your own. When you buy the course, you download everything, the 8 modules, all of the bonus materials, the handouts, and then you can Netflix binge it, or you can take a year or more to do it. It doesn't matter. It's at your own pace. So that's been a lot of fun.
It always excites me. I mean, 20 years of expertise and experience all in a self-guided module where I could, in theory, learn this in 48 hours and skip the 20 years of making mistakes, learning, regulation changes, the whole shabam. I'm wondering, because you kind of mentioned how fine-tuned some of these grants are and how specific they are. Is there legitimately a grant out there for everyone? And I want to preface that the way I look at things is, even if the grant's not there for me, if it's there for my employer or a friend of mine, I'm always keeping my ears and eyes open because I want to help the people around me. So I'm wondering, is this, should anyone turn this off? There's not a grant there for them, or is there a grant there for pretty much every person, whether they're a solopreneur, part of a corporation, or an athlete? How wide of a option, how wide of a variety is there?
Well, it is really wide. I would love to say, yes, there's a grant out there for everything and everyone. That's probably not true. But the clients I've worked with, we have always, always found grant opportunities and written the proposals and received the grants. So there's always a return on the investment. So here's what grants typically cover. Just to kind of set the stage so that you learn this, Ben, and you can share the love here. Grants will pay for, and people often say, well, what will they pay for? Will they pay for equipment? Will they pay for staffing, for rent? Yes, they'll pay for all of those things. In fact, they'll pay for you to hire new staff. They'll pay for you to pay your staff that are already currently working with or for you, which is very eye-opening for a lot of people. They'll pay for your rent, your insurance, your utilities. Perhaps you are looking at a capital project of building a brand new theater, office space, manufacturing plant. They will pay for that. They'll pay for equipment for that manufacturing plant. Now, here's the caveat. Remember I said how many thousands of grant opportunities are out there? You have to research them carefully, and that's one of the things we do. But I can teach you in the course how to research those carefully to find out which ones will cover your capital cost versus which ones will focus on your staffing. Sometimes they'll do both, but it's very critical in the research to know the right funder that you're going for so that they cover the very thing you need. So it's funny because the very first thing we do in the course and all about grantwriting.com is our first module is all about planning your project, picking out a particular item or need. Maybe it's expanding a bakery and you need some equipment to make massive amounts of frosting. You know, you need mixers, industrial size mixers. You can get those with grants. In fact, this is a true story. I have done that very thing. So the first thing we do in the course is help you plan out what it is you need. And that requires several steps because only then can you start searching for the right funders and preparing the grant proposals according to those specifications.
Perfect. I noticed on the website, Margaret, how you mentioned grant writing is both an art and a science, but it's not a mystery. And obviously through this course mm-hmm. and your education, you're kind of unveiling what is a mystery to some. I'm seeing a lot of the tactical science end of things, like knowing what to look up, how to do research, knowing if it's a good fit for you. Where does the artistry come into play? Is this like do I have to get creative with my writing? Is it like going into a job interview where I'm writing a cover letter? Tell me a little bit about that balance between the science and the tactical versus the art involved with grant writing.
That's a great question. I've actually never been asked that, Ben. I've been in so many interviews, so I'm glad you asked it and you picked up on that.
Yes.
Yeah, the science part is definitely my background. My master's is in science. I kind of got into grant writing by accident, different story. But the science aspect is a very structured approach that has proven outcomes. The art kind of aspect is pretty much what you just said, in that you're not writing the great American novel, but you are telling a story in a way that is compelling enough to grab the interest of the reader, which is the review panel of whichever foundation or government grant you're applying to. And not only do you have to answer all their specific questions, but you have to do so in a way that gets them excited about jumping on board with you. And I look at it this way, you know, so much in our business is mindset, right? Maybe you've heard that. There's been a lot of talk about mindset. Well, it's so true in my field because when you apply for grants, you're just not going to get every single one. Remember I said how competitive they are. So you're not going to get them all, but that's all right. You're going to develop one or two really phenomenal project template grant applications. You're going to develop one great application to expand your bakery, another one to hire staff. Okay. And you can use those repeatedly for different funders. So you're not always going to get the grants. They're not going to appeal to everyone. But the idea and the artistry behind this is some people are going to read your story and your work and really get it. And they're going to say, this is what I want to get behind. This is what's going to really infuse them with passion, just like it does with you. And then you've got a partnership, and that usually results in the grant award. And the second part of that kind of artistry, yeah, the writing is big, but you know, it's almost, well, what's about as important in most cases is building the relationship with the very foundations or the program officers, you know, the people in charge of the federal grants that you're going to be applying to. Because, you know, the old sales adage is people love to give to people. Well, yes, that's true. And that's true in philanthropy too. And so making a connection with another human that's involved in the funding is so key to really show the passion you feel for your business or nonprofit work. And that will come across to them. And then you follow it up with doing it in writing too. So that's the ideal. Sometimes you can't find a human to talk to. You just have to submit the grant application. And that's all right too. It doesn't mean you're not, you know, your chances of getting funded are equally good. But building those relationships is also part of the entire process.
Yeah, building the relationships. Well, I'm thinking about this. I'm like, the grant isn't just an AI going through scanning what you wrote or looking at the numbers. It's a human. And if you can connect to them and their purpose, the reason that they even want to give the grant, is there a way, like, can it get political? I mean, be honest if it can, but I'm wondering, like, is there a way for me to hack my way into the process, like get in the door with the right person because I took them out to lunch, or am I reaching out to random people that I'll never meet, or is there a way to kind of infuse myself in the culture of the people writing these grants and kind of build a relationship network where they want to give me the grant? I'm not just words on a paper. Am I overthinking it, or is that something that you can do?
It's absolutely something you can do. And for any of your listeners and watchers that are in the field of sales or in the field of fundraising, you know how important it is to build a network and get to know people in your community that are going to be running in the same circles as where your work is focused. So it is absolutely important. And you probably have some folks in marketing and advertising that tune into your podcast as well. Same thing, those skills, marketing, finding the right target audience that's going to have an interest in your work is critical. And so when you're building the relationships, it is important to research foundations or the opportunities first to make sure they align with what it is you're doing. And also, frankly, find out who's on their board of directors. And perhaps somebody on your business or nonprofit board of directors knows somebody who is on the board of directors of that foundation. And right away, there's a possible introduction and connection. And hey, Ben, you mentioned lunch. If you want to take people out to lunch, go for it. That's an option too. Sometimes I find people are strapped so much for time that, you know, a video call or a phone call is actually quicker and more efficient, more likely to happen. But nothing wrong with, you know, getting together with folks and inviting them to tour to see your place of work in action. You know, I hadn't mentioned this, but before I started Grants for Good, I was director of a foundation called the Wilson Foundation. It's right here in Rochester. And it was Joseph Wilson was one of the founders of the Xerox Corporation. And so the family has a foundation. And when I worked as their director several years ago, one of the most rewarding aspects of that job was going to site visits. And what that means is we had already had a bunch of great grant applications, and now we wanted to see the programs in action. We wanted to meet the people at their place of work to see how does it all work. And there's nothing that speaks louder than pictures, or even better yet, being there. So if you can get that site visit and invite people, that's worth a lot.
Yeah, it is worth a ton, and a little does go a long way. I think a lot of people don't realize. I believe that everybody at the core is in marketing. They're in sales. Whether you're a cashier, you're a cashier, you're still there to provide an experience that's enjoyable for the customers. If you're a business owner, if you're a salesperson, your job is to drive revenue, to drive funding. And a lot of that is the relationship building and the growing of your network and the getting creative with the tactical approach, where it's not just numbers on a page, it's your personality on the page, it's your mission on the page. These are skill sets that I feel like everyone should learn, whether it's for grant writing, fundraising, anything at all, really. I'm wondering, I feel like earlier on you mentioned that you kind of got into grant writing on accident. I'm wondering, maybe it wasn't on accident, but it caught you by surprise. Like, when did you start grant writing? What was the process there? And an extension of that, why did you stay in the field? Like, what were you so passionate about with grant writing? Was it the marketing, the funding? Where did you get your start, and what kept you there? What kept you in the industry?
Well, you know, I like to tell just the brief story of what got me into grant writing. And the reason I like to tell it is because most of the people I speak with, most of the people that are joining us here today are not some, they would not call themselves grant writers, right? Because it's
No.
pretty specific. They would not call themselves that. But I like to tell the story because the bottom line is that anyone can do it with the right training, with some practice. So I've mentored a few people in the field and they're doing it now, which is fantastic. And then I've taught people who work for nonprofits or businesses that maybe just want to write a couple grant applications and they've done it. Great. The way I got started is I graduated with a master's in environmental science and natural resource management. I got a job right away, right after graduation,
Yeah.
working here at Monroe County for the planning department and the health department. And I was working very specifically on water quality protection issues for Lake Ontario, the Genesee River, the whole watershed. I was in charge of a lot of education projects. I loved it. But what I found was that when there are budget cuts, you don't get to do the very things you're passionate about. So here I was, as you know, a bright-eyed grad student, all done with school, thinking, okay, let's save the world, clean up the environment, right? And there's no money to do it. So that's where grant writing came in, is myself, some of my colleagues said, well, let's start finding some of these opportunities. And lo and behold, the very first grant I wrote came through. And it was a sizable grant from a regional organization that helped fund a pretty major effort in the Great Lakes. And so
Yes.
that was encouraging, right? You get a little success like that and you kind of get hooked. You're like, wow, there's a lot that you can do with this. And so I became self-taught. I went to my employer was great, sent me to workshops to learn more. Now back then in the early 90s, there weren't the webinars and the online training courses like there are now. So I had to learn a lot on my own. And my All About Grant Writing course saves you a lot of bumps in the road that took me 20 years to get through. But
Yes.
that's what really got me into it. And then what ended up happening is it just mushroomed. Every job I had, every position I was in, I looked at it from a standpoint of, oh, do we need more money? Well, let's get some more then. And employers like that, believe me. So we would get more money for the very things we wanted to do. And I never looked at it as money per se, but rather support to make things happen that really need to happen. And so whether you're a business or a nonprofit, you have a mission, you're helping somebody, something, someone in the community. Maybe you're working on environmental improvements. Maybe you're helping people get away from being homeless. Maybe you're helping people get out of addiction. Maybe you are helping develop, you're developing a new product that is going to increase driver safety. Regardless, you are improving your world. And so that's what grants do. Yeah, they're money, but that's just the intermediary. It's somebody supporting and believing in you enough that they want to invest in you and you can go out there and just rock it. You know, you can do what you do best. And so what kept the second part of your question, Ben, is what kept me in the field is that I think you can kind of, I'm getting chills. You can kind of hear the passion coming out now. It's like, this is the reason I'm still here, is I see the change that is happening as a direct result of people getting the money they need and doing the work they're doing. And so there are times I absolutely do not want to sit in front of a computer and write anything, but I'll do it because I think of the end product. I think of the organization I work with that helps women who are affected by domestic violence reclaim their lives. Okay, so I think of that big impact, or I think of kids who are going to be paired with a mentor that can possibly keep them staying in school, graduating, and not cycling into a life of severe poverty. So when I put things in those terms, it's really important. It's really important to do this. And that's why I'm passionate about teaching others about this too.
I love this. I see money in a similar sense that, politics aside, the country's capitalism, and in capitalism, you need funding to run your business. But I've always seen money or funding as more of an amplifier than, you know, it doesn't fix your problems. If you're a shitty person, if you're a poor run business, if your mission stinks, you can have all the money in the world and you can crumble. But there's a lot of great people with major visions, and they're looking to change the world and they're looking to affect change. And just a little bit of funding can provide that differentiator to allow them to achieve these goals and allow them to create an abundant community. And I'm wondering, so I'm excited. I want to start grant writing. I have a few ideas. I don't want to dive too deep into my personal life, so I'll keep my ideas aside, but I'm looking to start grant writing. Is there anything that I should like totally expect, like something that I maybe a struggle or a frustration that I should kind of like, you should let me know in advance that I might have this struggle so I don't quit as soon as it happens? Is there any examples in any of the grants you or your clients have wrote that they've just hit a roadblock or fell on their face? And what did you learn from that struggle? So if it starts to happen to me, at least I can see it coming.
Well, there are struggles with grant writing. And I think the biggest one really is one that I alluded to a little bit earlier, and that is get used to handling no. So in other words, just like in sales, you're not going to make every sale. You're not going to convince every funder. You're not going to get every government grant that you apply for. However, a no is often that opportunity to find out what could you do differently next time? And should you apply again? And do they have a recommendation for someone else that you could look to? So a no is not the end when it comes to grant writing, but it is important to have some endurance. In other words, it's not a sprint. The great thing about grant writing is it's never, ever a waste of time. And actually the two biggest things that people are concerned about is the time and the staff. They say, we don't have the time or the staff to do this. And I get it. I've done lots of surveys. This is what I hear time and time again. So do you have the time and the staff? You do, because when you look at what you're doing now, you are already halfway to grant writing. You just don't know it. So in other words, Ben, you already have, you have a business. You probably have a business plan. If you don't have it written down, I won't tell anyone. If you don't, then you at least have it in your mind. You know what you're doing and why you're doing it. So you have already the beginnings of a grant proposal. So the grant proposal is really, what is the big need in your community that you're addressing? Exactly how you're going to do it? How will you evaluate it? In other words, how do you know you're making a difference? And there's a lot to that component, which is covered in my course. And finally, your budget. And that is the tough part. So I would say two big challenges, the staffing and the time, but also the budget. Again, the staffing and the time, like I said, you're probably already partway there. So it may not require as much time as you think. The budget part, from a technicality standpoint, people really struggle with this and they make mistakes, and that's what will cost them the grant. So I have a module entirely developed that is completely focused on how to develop federal grant application budgets, state and foundation, because they're all different. And I give examples and templates. And I also highlight some of the biggest mistakes. And sometimes it's a mathematical mistake or your spreadsheet wasn't calibrated correctly. But really, I like to tell why I got into this and what it is, because anyone can do it. And I know for myself, it's not something where I was 5 years old and I said, wow, I want to grow up and be a grant professional someday. No, no, no. I wanted to be a doctor or a teacher. You know, those were the two choices for me. But here I am helping so many different people achieve their goals that it's really rewarding. And I see that happening every single day.
I love that. It is rewarding. And I like the realistic perspective that there could be a mathematical error, the smallest mistake. It's the art and the science coming to life that I can walk in the door, head held high, passionate, ready to go, best pitch in the world. But if my grant isn't written to the specifications necessary, all that goodwill in the world might not go anywhere because I don't have the science. I don't have the actual mechanics down. Yikes. So I got to learn these things so I get it right the first time. But it sounds like a lot of people you hear know a lot. Should I be applying to, this is just theoretical, should I be applying to 3, 5, 10, 10 grants at a time? Like, should I just, I have this nerve-wracking feeling that I'll apply for one grant, not hear from them for 4 to 6 months, and then get the no and just feel like depleted. Is it possible to apply for 1, 3, 5, 10, 20 grants at a time and kind of throw it at the wall and just hope that one of them sticks? Or is that a bad approach?
Well, I think it's a good idea to apply to several funders at the same time. And that's really what we do also. And the reason is that maybe you have a project that costs $200,000 in the next 12 months to implement. So you need $200,000. Well, you're not going to get you're probably not going to get $200,000 all in one shot from one funder anyway. I'm not saying it's not possible, but you may not. So you might have to apply to a particular state grant opportunity where you can ask for up to $50,000. Well, go ahead, ask for that max. Then you may want to apply to a couple of foundations that show a strong interest in your work. They may have a cap of 20,000 or 70,000. Who knows? That all comes out in the research when you're researching your funders. But the point being that you may have to apply to several different grant opportunities at once to piece together the revenue to fund your work. And also, the grants aren't your only source of revenue. I always encourage people to have grants be maybe anywhere from 20% to 60% of their revenue. And usually it's on the lower end, but I've had organizations where about 80% of their budget comes from grant funding. That's not typical, man. Though. Wow. It's not really typical, but it happens. But either way, it's a way to diversify that revenue stream. So yeah, you want to apply to various ones. In terms of throwing stuff at the walls and sticking, I never count on that. Oh no, those grant applications go in, you make a phone call with that funder and say, hi, we just submitted this and we're so excited to work with you. Please give us a call should you have any questions as you go through this grant proposal, invite them to a site visit. So just kind of keep that connection so that it's there. And over time, it can take about 3 to 6 months till you see some of the rewards for your effort. So patience is key, especially at first. But yeah, it will pay off to do this.
Yeah, patience is key. There isn't quick fixes in life. There, once in a while, maybe, but all good. It's a cliche, but all good will come in time. I'm wondering, because we've kind of talked about some of the struggles and the anxieties, and if someone's still on board, they know what to expect. But let's paint a nicer picture, whether it's a case study, any kind of case study or personal experience or testimonial of a person or a business and organization that applied for a grant, maybe why they were applying and just that success story, whether it's the amount they earned or the vision that they're building. Any of these come to mind?
Oh my gosh, there's many. How much time have you got? there are a lot.
Yes.
I'll tell you one that just happened really recently. And, you know, in 2020, when the pandemic was full blown, things started to shut down. A lot of nonprofits and businesses were struggling and went into a panic mode of, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? You know, we have to close our doors. We can't have theater shows. One of the nonprofits is called Resolve of Greater Rochester, a fairly small nonprofit, but with a big impact. They serve women who have been affected by domestic violence that are trying to get out of or in the process of getting out of abusive relationships. And last year with the pandemic, when stay-at-home orders came down, guess what? Not everyone was safe at home. In fact, domestic violence increased threefold in New York State. And this small organization, Resolve, had a fourfold increase in demand for services. Mm-hmm. So now I've got two things going on. The pandemic and the need just skyrocketed and they need funding. Well, guess what? We told that story in this very way. We put out all the grant applications we needed to, and they got, I want to say, five times the amount of funding as the year prior. So we literally raised hundreds of thousands of dollars. We got those in grants last year, and that continued into 2021. So you can get the money you need. It will be there. If your need increases, as is shown in this case study, the grants are there for you. That's how you want to tell the story. And who can't get behind that? And I have many more stories like that. You know, I like to say there is a light at the end of the tunnel, even though it doesn't feel like it every day with this pandemic, but we're kind of in the tunnel still. There's a light in the tunnel. There are grant opportunities right now that weren't even around 2 years ago. And so when I tell people about grants, I say, this is the year to apply. Just learn it now. Don't wait, because there's so much funding out there. And a lot of it falls under two kind of buckets. One is relief from the pandemic. You know, where have you lost revenue and how can we help? And the second one is this, this global, definitely in this country, realization of inequity, in particular racial inequity. And there's a lot of funding out there to build a more equitable society for everybody. So and most organizations have a lot of room to grow when it comes to building equity.
Yes.
So there's two really big opportunities right there for grant opportunities. So there's just a lot of positives in this kind of work. And it's just fun to celebrate when you get that grant and you think, yay. I just had another quick story come from one of our arts organizations. Mm-hmm. And he was just developing marketing materials for his nonprofit. They have a very interesting dance troupe called Push Physical Theater. Mm-hmm. And Darren is wonderful. And he just shared with us, he said, thanks to you guys, thanks to Grants for Good, I am now printing my marketing materials for my September performance without all the anxiety. Usually he's trying to cut corners. This time he's got beautiful marketing materials. And he said, I'm even going to print on both sides. So
yes.
Thank you, grant funding. He can get the word out there that they're going to be doing live performances again this fall. So yeah, it just does so many things for people.
It's so exciting to see great organizations, great people becoming successful with help of grant writing. And it seems like a skill that we all should have just in life to be able to look at the data, look at the science, write the grant, but also understand the relationship building and bring people in, whether it's buying them lunch, a phone call, having them come in, see, you know, Push Physical Theater as an example. It's so tangible to watch them perform, and having more arts, you know, come to the community's great, of course. Wow, we could probably just talk about this million examples. I'm wondering, you kind of touched on it. What is the future of grant writing? Does it go through lots of changes? If I learn grant writing today, will the future change and I'll have to learn the skill again? Or what are your just general thoughts on grant writing? You know, how COVID's changed things and just the future of grant writing as a whole?
Yeah, it has changed. And again, I wrote my first grant in the early 1990s. That was quite a while ago. And it has changed since then, mainly because of technology. So when I wrote the first grant, it was literally a government grant involved a stack of papers this big that you had to ship into a package. Now everything's online, thank goodness. We're saving a lot more paper. But really, most grant applications are done through online forms now, which is great. The only downside is sometimes they give you specific word counts. You know, you have to answer the question of how you're going to save the world in 200 words or less. You know, I'm exaggerating, but you know, oftentimes you're limited that way. That's
yes.
Okay. You have to be able to be concise. But really, the changes that I've seen have been for the better. So I am seeing much, much improvement in the decades I've been in this field, partly because funders are realizing that they need to fund staff. They need to fund overhead, which means things like your utilities, your insurance, your rent, things that businesses and nonprofits need money for. And so I feel like philanthropy on the whole is changing in a more positive direction. I also feel like the government grants are changing in that way too, especially right now. Because of the American Rescue Plan, there is a lot of money out there for various needs. And if, you know, there's an infrastructure plan that's, you know, on the books. So there's a lot of government changes, legislation that do affect federal and state grants, because a lot of times the federal money gets trickled down to the state level. And so it's a good idea to keep in tune with politics to some degree, you know, not getting lost in the crazy stuff, but keep in touch with the legislation that's coming through. In terms of answering your question, if you were to learn, if you took my course, let's say, all about grant writing today, would it still be relevant next year? Yes, absolutely. Because there are very specific things that every grant application asks for. And that's what I teach you to write. It's kind of like me sitting down right next to you and saying, hey, Ben, did you think about this? You know, it's all in the course. It's like we'd be sitting together for hours working together. And that doesn't really change. It really doesn't change. But I do also teach webinars. I make updates to the course if there's new regulation or any significant changes. Honestly, in terms of the structure, it's very similar. In terms of the trends I've seen it's become definitely more responsive to community needs. I mean, like I said, last year, you know, we witnessed so much racial inequity. And as a response, foundations and state and federal grants have met the cry for, look, we've got to change something. And there's often funding required for businesses and nonprofits to develop programs and to change. So it's really more of communities evolving in a very positive way. I think so.
Communities evolving in a positive way. That's what I love to hear. I want to go rapid fire in a moment, but people are excited. They want to learn. They understand. It's great to have someone hold your hand and walk you through the process. We don't have to do it alone. So how do they reach out to you? The course, the website, email, LinkedIn. What's the best way to reach out and learn more?
Oh, it's easy. I think the first thing I would recommend right now is jump on my website, Grants for Good. So GRANTS, the number for good.com. And I've got a free guide that's probably the best intro you can get in just a few pages. And it's 7 steps to grant success. So just download your free guide, check it out, and it'll give you a great overview. And then if you want to dive deeper, go to allaboutgrantwriting.com and check out what's included in the course. And it's a chance for us to work together too. I don't like it when I purchase an online course or product and there's nobody there once I buy it. So I love to interact with my customers. So once a month we hold live Q&As. I like to check in on people, say, hey, how's it going? You only finished one module or did you all 8? It doesn't matter. Tell me where you're at. How can I help? So that's part of the fun for me too, is seeing people's growth throughout. So yeah, you can get in touch with me either of those ways.
I love this. I eventually might go to the course. I definitely am going to get the free guide because, I mean, if you can talk about vision and passion in 200 characters or less, I'm sure that those 3 pages is going to be just a depth of information quickly. And again, your 20 plus years experience, I can save time and read a 3-page document that's going to educate me and empower me. I just think it's a no-brainer. Genius thing to at least get that document itself.
Yeah, it's actually 10 pages, but check it out.
Where did I get the number 3? I think, I don't know where I got the number 3. Well, listen back. I think you might have said a few pages and this, I thought 3.
There you go. A few ten, is 3.
ten's an encyclopedia,
definitely
though.
Definitely download that. It's a quick read. It'll give you a nice basis for understanding what grants are and really the steps involved in how to obtain them.
Yes, I love it. And again, in 10 pages or less, I don't have to read the encyclopedia on it. I've got like a digested guideline version. I love this. So the rapid fire round, it's very similar to Family Feud, where it's just quick, short answer. Most of these are either or questions, but it's also a little bit like Whose Line Is It Anyway? Because the points don't matter. The points are
I love it.
completely subjective to your opinion. And we'll get started with coffee or tea.
Espresso,
Yes.
coffee.
And you can always fill in the blank because a lot of people like to fill in the blank for beer or wine.
Both. Both are good, especially
Favorite?
after a big deadline has been met.
Oh my gosh. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Favorite season?
Oh gosh, I like summer and winter. I'm extreme. I like the heat and I love the snow.
What about weekend activity? You're done writing for the week. You're just gonna chill out and relax. Any guilty pleasures or non-guilty things that you ultimately love?
Oh my gosh, in Rochester, we have this amazing collection of lakes, canals, rivers. So I like to spend time on the water as much as possible. And I do it with my stand-up paddleboard, or maybe I'll get my son and her husband in a tandem kayak. But we just love to be on the water. Yeah,
Yes.
so much of it here.
I want to slow down for this one. Any good reads? Like if you were to gift a book because it just changed your life and you want to change someone else's, any reads, fiction or nonfiction, that just stand out as incredible books, great reads?
You know what? I'm a really avid reader. I read a lot of books. In fact, I'd probably get more sleep if I didn't read so much, but I love to read. There's a great business book I read by Greg McKeown called Essentialism. Do you know that one, Greg McKeown? Essentialism is one that has made a big difference to me because what it essentially focuses on, as the name implies, is what is truly essential for you to do in your business and in your life, and what can be let go. And so I have reread that book quite a bit because it's about not saying yes to everything, but knowing that if you say yes to one thing, there might be something else you can't do, and acknowledging that. It's a great book, and I'm only capturing a little bit of it. So yeah, check that one out.
Well, my
And
God,
then
I
the other
mean,
one I read
please
recently
go.
was called The Wave, and In Search of Rogues and Giant Waves. And that's because I've taken up surfing the last couple of years, which
Yeah.
I'll actually go to Lake Ontario just to look for waves. But this book is fantastic. And this one's written by Susan Casey. She's the editor of Oprah's magazine called The Wave. So yeah, check out some fun reading.
The wave. I love it. And I was gonna
That's
just
a good
say, I
one.
was gonna say you could have said no, so thank you for doing this conversation, this interview. Thanks
Sure.
for educating my community on grants. I super appreciate it. I'm sure everyone else does as well. And in case they missed it, again, how do we reach out? What are the next steps?
Yeah, the easiest way would be just go to my website, grants4, the number 4, good.com. And you can email me directly from there, or you can download my free guide, 7 Steps to Grant Success. You can opt into my email list, and that's where you're going to hear about all of the upcoming maybe 20, 30-minute trainings or free webinars that I'll be running. And that'll help you kind of get to the next step. And there's also a Facebook group called Get the Grant with Margit. So there's a whole bunch of ways to get involved. Send me a line, shoot me a quick email, and we'd love to chat. And Ben, it's been great catching up with you. I've been following your business
Thank
in
you.
the last year or so, and I'm so glad we got to connect because I know we were talking last, oh gosh, 6 months ago at least. And so I'm really glad we got this on our calendar. And I look forward to staying in touch with you too and all the folks you work with.
Yeah, we'll be in touch. I'm so happy I met you. If I can introduce you to anybody, bring people your way. I want to see the community get the grants they deserve.
Me
And
too.
wow, so I came in a total beginner. I feel like I could teach at least the 101, but
Here we are.
I still came in not knowing much. Is there anything that, and of course, listeners, join the Facebook group, reach out, ask your question yourself if you still have one. But do you think there's any questions a listener might still have, or just anything you want to add to the conversation to wrap up that we maybe missed?
Yeah, I think the final question and the one I get the most is how do I get started? It's just
Yes.
that, how do I get started? And really, I'm just going to say again, the simplest thing is just download my free guide again on grantsforgood.com. And from there, start thinking about what kind of things in your business or organization could use some funding. Make a list. What are some things that need funding? What are some great programs that you could really get behind and kind of sell to funders? You know, what are ones that you can speak to? So you can do those two things. It won't take you long to do it all. And again, I bet you anything, you are anywhere from a third to halfway there already. So you've got the time to do this and it will pay off. So yeah, go for it. I'm excited. I'd love to see more people, you know, having success and doing great things in our community. So thank you again for having me here today.
Thank you for coming. It's been a pleasure and we'll talk very, very soon.
That sounds great. Take care, Ben.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.